Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The winner to organize the 2022 FIFA World Cup is Qatar.
The Qatar World Cup is finally here. But just what kind of place is hosting the biggest sporting event on the planet? I'm Kate Mason, and in September, I went to Doha to see things for myself.
It was the weirdest day of my life.
It said Qatar is doing everything it can. How do you quantify that? That's the sort of thing you can just say.
So basically, they wanted to charge me under the Espionage Act.
I've spoken to female footballers in the country, the first Qatari man to come out as gay, residents in Doha whose future is uncertain, and the workers who helped build this World Cup. All to find out how it's changed people's lives there.
There's like so many like opportunities and stadiums for women to use, but like it's just that they don't want to because they can't.
And the big question is, what's going to happen after the World Cup? What's going to happen when that spotlight moves on?
Physical health, everybody know, but nobody knows the mental health.
This is Inside the Qatar World Cup, the Football Ramble's brand new three-part series. You can listen to all three episodes right now. Just search Football Ramble in your favourite podcast app.
Here we go again, everybody. Welcome to the first 2022 World Cup Football Ramble. Ecuador have made history by beating Qatar. It's Monday, 21st of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm David Cartledge.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Well, hello there, everybody. It's that time again. Welcome to our first World Cup Ramble. We're bringing you shows every day throughout the group stages and many more beyond following all of the action. Oh, gentlemen, I don't know about you, but today I feel Ecuadorian.
Yeah, very much so.
What a start, chaps, to the World Cup. What a barn burner. We've had history created, Jim Campbell, with Ecuador winning because Qatar become the first hosts to lose their opening match of the tournament. And we were also, am I right to use the word treated to Morgan Freeman in the World Cup opening ceremony?
Morgan Freeman was certainly there, which was something I wasn't expecting. We were speculating about Robbie Williams a little while ago. He will be there at some point, but wasn't in the opening ceremony. I just...
Doesn't have to do it, does he?
No. What?
Does
how much
not
is
have
enough
to do it?
Yeah. How much is enough, Morgan Freeman?
I felt like I'd sort of climbed through a sewer watching that.
Yeah. I think it's good that the BBC didn't show the opening ceremony in favour of, you know, highlighting you know, the reasons that everybody has considered this World Cup to be so controversial. It takes a little bit of that kind of spin away, but it's still, what? Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, Morgs, come on, we expect better. You've got a lot of good stuff in the bank, and I'm not talking about that. I mean, you know, Shawshank Redemption and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, but my goodness, you know, you...
whoa. Steady. You've gone from one celebrated Oscar-bothering film to Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, come on.
I'll not have that. I enjoyed it as much as you did. I enjoyed the theme tune and the
point.
Official soundtrack
it.
As much as you did, but... You cannot say that that's up there with his best.
Look, all I'm saying is we enjoyed it, the critics didn't, okay? I appreciate that makes me sound like Richard Key's Twitter feed currently, okay? But I'm just saying that Morgan Freeman, he's you're better than this. But anyway,
maybe
we
he's
going to
come back
on.
At the end and fix it all. I would feel like if there was anyone who is going to do that.
Is he going to escape? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
It could be.
I'm sorry about all that.
living up to his name, of course. So there was a game of football. It was Qatar 0, Ecuador 2. Yeah. Just a few minutes into the game, David, there was a VAR call which, let's be honest, raised a few eyebrows, but it was the correct call.
Yeah, definitely. There was a lot of mentions of brown envelopes on my Twitter timeline at that time. So, and what didn't help as well was that story a few days ago about the Ecuador team apparently getting $7.5 million to throw this game. So this was kind of the last type of start they needed. But it was lively. It was lively. It's what the tournament needed to start off things, I think. Just a bit of controversy, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think, you mentioned there was a lot of silly rumours during the rounds leading up to this match. But a panda on local Qatar TV did predict that Ecuador would win the game. So maybe all eyes on the panda, Pete.
All eyes on the panda. I think there was a Hartlepool ferret that predicted England to go out in the group stages.
Is that what they're calling you these days?
Yeah, exactly. And I love a ferret. Up there, I think they're up there with pandas. I think they're much maligned. People get rather upset because they smell bad. But I'd much prefer a ferret to get involved. But it was. I mean, it's kind of rare because like when you're doing like a show and you've been doing this for a long time. You know the things you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say. And like, but
we've
this,
gone close to the line already.
Gloves are off, though, aren't they, with this time? Yeah. FIFA, bent. Absolutely bent. Qatar, bent.
Infantino, idiot.
It's so fucking dodgy. It's so refreshing. I don't know where the boundaries are anymore, Marcus.
Yeah. Well, go on, then say something outrageous. Go on.
It's all very dodgy.
Can we just put it back to the panda? Because I think I have been won over by the idea that it's not a World Cup without some sort of psychic animals.
Yes, of course.
But pandas are idiots. Like, pandas are absolute morons. They do need us to stay alive because they're so dumb. There's many a YouTube rabbit hole to go down here with pandas falling over stuff and being really dumb. I think having a panda fall, that undermines it because they are so dumb they're barely even sentient.
Well, the panda got it right, Jim, so it's egg on your face, actually. Well,
do you want the octopus back? Do you want Paul the octopus back? Is that where it is?
Well, he died,
David. We can't get him back.
He did die, didn't he? Yeah.
Well, right.
He was delicious, though.
All right.
Yeah. The octopus don't have a big life expectancy. And that was a while ago, Paul the Octopus. I think that was...
South Africa, was
it?
I think it might be South Africa, yeah.
Yeah, 2010 or 2014. Right. Yeah. But Paul the Octopus is definitely no longer here. There may be another imposter that's popped up. But he's gone and maybe rest
sorry,
in
I'm
peace,
still not
course.
Finished with the panda thing, Pete. Why were you comparing pandas and ferrets? I can't let myself ask you about that.
There was a predicted. There was a ferret in Hartlepool that was predicting all of the matches.
Over a pint?
Yeah, just trying to night out.
He had three balls, like standard sort of Paul the Octopus nonsense. So,
Oh, right, so it's just the general idea of it that you're decrying, not like ferrets and pandas I have particular issues with.
Hartlepool have a troubling relationship with animals, of course.
Yeah, we're not allowed monkeys anymore, I suppose. Yeah. But it's
I fear for the ferret. I really do.
Yeah, for the ferret.
Well, now we've got that out of the way. The World Cup is underway, everybody. It was a good start from Ecuador. I mean, they were 2-0 up within, what was it, 31 minutes. And I think we all thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be embarrassing. But it was the former West Ham and Everton man, David Enner Valencia, who got the goals.
Of course, he used to play for West Ham. I feel like every striker everywhere has played for West Ham at some point and just not done well. So yeah, he looked pretty good. And it's a good focal point for them to have an attack. And I actually thought they were quite impressive. They've got some good young players there as well. Got a nice mix of technique, physicality. So yeah, there could be a cause a few people some problems.
Yeah, I was going to say that because I think people look at the group and the Netherlands, of course, are favourites to go through there. I don't think people give Qatar much of a chance. And it was Senegal and Ecuador where people would, oh, we're not just... I mean, because Senegal, I mean, their main man, Sadio Mane, is sadly not going to be at the tournament through injury. But we know a handful of their players, and they are African champions. So they've obviously got a decent side. So I think for most people, you'd probably fancy Senegal to finish second. But Ecuador, what do you think, David? Could they, if you think about what we know about Senegal and what you've seen with Ecuador, particularly in that first half, I mean, they could maybe get second or
yeah, absolutely.
Or
no,
better.
I think absolutely. I think they've got a nice mix of players there. There's probably a few that Brighton are looking at the getting to add to that with a contingent of Ecuador players as well. So I think they will cause people problems. I don't know whether they've got many goals outside of Enner Valencia. Maybe that's the only problem there. But no, they big strong back four as well, quick fullbacks. Yeah, they're going to cause a lot of problems, I think. I don't think they'll be ruled out.
Yeah, I don't think they'll have an easier 90 minutes, Jim. I mean, if you think about with South American sides, they usually play other South American sides, as we know with their with their qualifying, and obviously don't have qualifying for Copa America. So there's no gimmies, really. They don't have the equivalents of the whipping boys like San Marino and Faroe Islands and so on. So they've always got against... But then, I mean, you look at that Qatar side, you know, they looked very, very poor, did they not?
They did. They looked, I mean, just completely out of their depth. You know, it's a team that hasn't earned the right to be there because obviously they've qualified automatically, but in a quite dramatic situation where they've essentially had to try and get the entire culture and kind of professional aspect of their game up to speed in time, and it doesn't look like they've got anywhere near that. And understandably, as that's no mean feat. But I think Ecuador didn't really need to be that good to win, did they? They clearly stuck to their game plan. I know they scored from the most set pieces in qualifying in South America, and they didn't adapt to the fact that they're kind of better on the ball than Qatar. They kept trying to play that way, and I think that's interesting. I think it's smart as well because it's how they're going to get something out of Senegal or the Netherlands. But I think, as I said, I don't think they had to be that good. They just did a sort of professional job on Qatar. Once the penalty seemed really telling. Like it was so, so calm. You got the sense Valencia knew he was going to score that. It was kind of, it was sort of easy. And the game just felt very easy to them. So I don't know how much we've learned about them. I do feel that Qatar are going to probably get a hiding off the Netherlands in particular.
Well, you do worry for them, don't you?
I don't think they're going to score a goal.
No. Yeah, and when I say worry, you, as in a pure football sense, if you see what I mean. But it's true. I mean, this is the stuff. They trained together for 6 whole months before this. Now, we've seen, not to that extreme, but we've seen host nations do this before. We saw, or heard rather, South Korea do that. But, you know, that was under Gus Hiddink, of course. And they trained for 4 months together because they'd never won a World Cup match before. They turned up and everyone thought they were going to get pasted. They had some decent results just before the tournament. And then, of course, they reached the semi-finals. South Africa did the same under the Brazilian Pereira, was it, in 2010 as hosts. Now, they didn't go through. They got knocked out in the first round, but they were genuinely worried that they were going to be dreadful and not they were going to lose all their games. So at least they got a point in their first game. You know, at least they were still in it in the third game. I know people might say, well, that's a bit poor, but they were against France, Uruguay and Mexico, you know, proper sides, even though France had a mare. But this side, David, 6 months they trained together, and they are the Asian champions as well. Okay, that was 3 years ago, but it wasn't that long ago. This is very poor.
Yeah, I just don't understand what's going on. Like, what have they been doing in training? I mean, surely a bit more like actual full match competition would have been better. I think Ecuador could have stuck their under-19 side out and they would have beaten Qatar today.
I agree.
Yeah, they were appalling. They really were. And like I say, I just don't think they're going to score a single goal here.
And yet, did you not think that Qatar had a couple of uncontested sort of headers and stuff? And Ecuador, there was a bit of space behind them here and there. And that's why I'm sort of worried about them if they're going to defend like that at certain times against a really poor Qatar side. They might be in a bit of bother. But I mean, for me, the match just all hinged on the goalkeeper, Salah Shib, just having an absolute nightmare. Yeah. Coming out, punching stuff. Like, he was lucky to... The first one was chalked off. If you were ever going to take a penalty against a keeper and just sort of think, well, he's going to die first, isn't he? It was going to be that goalkeeper, because he was just so into trying to affect the game and trying to go first and trying to sort of impose himself. Mm. He was just having a bit of a giggle, really. Yeah. And you've got, like, Ecuador players doing bicycle kicks to stop throw-ins going in. They're just having a bloody lovely time.
I think the other teams in the group are probably going to be trying a lot of long shots in the next two games, and that's what I'll be telling my players to do anyway.
Yeah, but it never works out, like, David. Whenever you go, oh, this keeper's dodgy, test him. Yeah. I just find that it doesn't happen. I'll be honest with you, Peter. I've seen you play in goal, and you always volunteer, and on behalf of all outfield players, we appreciate that. His performance was a bit Pete Donaldson-esque, although he was more leaky than you. But, like, just quite enjoyable for the neutral. You don't know what he's going to do next. He's capable of a save, but capable of the opposite.
He could have just made his own goalkeeping kit, like Jorge Campos back in the day. Yeah. I mean, that would have been quite fun. Like, if you're going to be that fun kind of goalkeeper who takes free kicks and is a bit mad, like, just dress the part for my money. Dress the part.
Yeah, although Campos's very, very colourful kits might not go down very well in Qatar.
That's
sadly.
Good point, but, actually, yeah.
Do you know what the nickname of the Qatar national team is?
The Maroon. The what? The Moon?
The Maroon.
Oh, the Maroon. Right, okay.
Yeah, because they play Maroon, yeah.
Nice. There was actually, speaking of kits, there was a lot
12 years to think of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what genius.
There was a lot of very generic Qatar T-shirts in the crowd, which made me laugh.
I love that.
Like, going,
love
right,
that.
Where is that? Were they handed them on the way in, or were they sent to their houses? Like, why did everyone have the exact same identical knockoff-looking Qatar T-shirt? Not even in the official thing, just the T-shirt.
Mm. Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, yeah, it'd be interesting. So, yeah, Qatar, they're up against it. There's no two ways about that.
Yeah.
They could be knocked out after the first two games, which would be damning. I mean, it really, really would be. Mm. And I do, there's an element of sympathy for those players who are playing, you know, all eyes are on them, of course, and they turn up like that. And it was, well, the pundits were saying on the BBC, well, at least it wasn't embarrassing for them. But what I would say is, though, it was quite odd in the second half, apparently, according to a lot of journalists, that loads of people left the stadium at half time.
That was clear.
They reckon
TV.
It was... Yeah, it was barely half full, and that might even be generous as well by full time. Do you think that affected Ecuador, David? Because if you think about it, goal difference could come into it, and actually they just took it easy, and you understand that, so you think, okay, rest up, lads, you know, no injuries, no silly bookings or whatever. But they might look back at this and go, you know, if we'd have got a third or a fourth.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have to wait and see how the group pans out, but they'll have definitely gone in at half time and thought, right, God, these lot of shit. Should we just turn it down second half?
Yeah.
And that's clearly what they've done. They've just said, right, let's not, you know, pull any muscles. Let's not rule ourselves out of the tournament. Obviously, the heat's still there as well, so they took it a bit easy, switched off. Mm. But yeah, they might regret it. If, you know, like, if the other teams are sticking 4 or 5 past Qatar, because I don't really see Qatar getting any better, to be honest with you, so...
Chaps, before we go to a break, a little callback to Friday's preview show. Apparently, it has been reported that Robbie Williams will be performing in Qatar during the World Cup. He said on Friday, it would be hypocritical of me not to go to Qatar. I don't condone any abuses of human rights anywhere, but if we're not condoning human rights abuses anywhere, I wouldn't even be able to perform in my kitchen.
Is that grounds for a
warrant?
Now, there's
a lot of questions. Yeah.
Is that enough?
What's in that chest freezer, Robbie? Good God.
The mind certainly boggles. He will be performing at the Doha Golf Club on the 8th of December, should you be out there, which is genuinely Keys and Gray's local haunt, obviously. So what an evening. What an evening of entertainment that you'll have on the 8th of December. Christmas will have definitely come early there. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I have offered my services to go and coach the players
right,
if they want some advice on taking penalties.
Mr. Southgate, are you listening?
Well, to be fair, I mean, there were probably other managers that may have been more likely than the woke Mr. Southgate.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
That sound clip was wearing jeans and shoes.
Yeah.
Boot cut jeans.
Yeah.
And brown brogs. and it had a pint a mile down the front of it.
Yeah. Two terrible men. From terrible men to Gianni Infantino, everybody. He was re-elected this week as FIFA president. You cannot keep a good man down. Yesterday, he did what can only be described as quite an extraordinary one-hour-long press conference where he defended the World Cup, which he's president of FIFA, so, like, whatever I think of that, I expect that,
yeah.
If you see what I mean. I expect that. I think we all do. And then he accused, obviously, the West of hypocrisy with Qatar. And he stated, or started, rather, during the speech by stating, today I am Qatari, today I'm gay, today I'm a migrant worker. He also said, today I'm disabled and other absolutely downright offensive things. He later said he wasn't actually those things, but he did understand discrimination and racism and so on, because when he was younger, he had freckles and red hair. He talked about being a foreigner in a foreign country. Now, I mean, it's quite breathtaking. It was just, again, on social media, journalist after journalist just saying, I cannot believe what I'm hearing here. Doesn't matter what paper they were writing for, what political leaning they leaned towards, nobody could believe what he was saying. And Pete, we're used to this kind of, well, I was about to say we're used to this kind of bluster with FIFA. I actually think this is above and beyond.
It's a new low, yeah.
Do you think that, like, it's, you remember when, like, Boris Johnson announced that he was on his downtime, he would spend a lot of time making little models of buses out of wine crates?
Yes.
And that was reportedly because if you Google bus and Boris Johnson, you'd have that bus with a big lie on it about, you know, taking back control, the Brexit bus, basically.
Right, yeah.
And there was reports that he gave this weird interview where he said that he creates buses out of wine boxes so that it would gain the SEO on Google a little bit, so that then that bus story would be, you know, down the listings and the weird story. So is there a part of being in charge of a regime such as FIFA when they haven't who sort of run a World Cup in this country that he's just done it to obfuscate, like, hey, look, everyone, I've shut my pants, and everyone's going, oh my god, I can't believe he shut his pants, instead of actually engaging with the legitimate concern sort of thing.
Dead cat strategy, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's it, it's called a dead cat strategy.
Is everyone trying to Google Gianni Infantino with hair, maybe? I don't know, but I think
I want to see that.
I wouldn't mind. When Sepp Blatter was in charge, of course, he came across as just an out-of-touch old man.
Right.
And he would kind of double down, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
If anybody... Come on, you need to give this respect. Which, again, looking back on it, you kind of think, well, yeah, like, he was always probably going to say that. He's not going to sit there and go, yeah, it's an absolute shower of shite, this. I can't believe what we've done. Whereas Infantino... I mean, look, I have sympathy with the young Infantino for being bullied for having red hair. But, you know, you grow up and you're kind of, oh, guess what? I was bullied at school. That's not very nice. Ugh, kids. Yeah. You don't sort of, if you have received racial abuse, you don't grow up and go, oh, racist, what are they like? You know,
absolutely.
It's there. Totally, totally different things. And the fact that he came out with that shows you just how downright moronic he is. And then, of course, he started going on about how the West is hypocritical about what the West is, or Europe in particular, should I say, to use his words. And he's right, you know, European history is got some awful, you know, largely awful, very bloody, very colonial and all the rest of it. But are you trying to tell me that, like, say, I don't know, a journalist from Belgium can't comment on migrant death workers in Qatar because of what Belgium did many years ago in the Congo? Do you know what I mean? Like, what we're doing here, Gianni? Mm. Like, he really is quadrupling down and defending the Qataris at every given opportunity in a way that I just cannot believe he's doing this.
Well, I think there's a couple of things at play here, which is firstly that Infantino legitimately doesn't seem to understand a lot of the problems that people have with the World Cup being hosted in Qatar and the kind of human rights and LGBTQ plus rights around it. And also FIFA took the money, didn't they, a long time ago. So they just have to eat all this. They have to eat it all and just kind of effectively deflect it as best they can to try and keep their reputation intact, which is... The irony is supreme, given, you know, the point of this was supposed to be sports washing. Does this appear to have worked? Has this improved Qatar's image on a global scale? Has it improved FIFA's image on a global scale? People joke about, you know, North Korea being, you know, being next, but that's the only thing I can think of that could possibly have been worse than this in terms of their image.
Yeah, well, when you say about North Korea, he's the one who said it. But when you see he's joking. He said any country can host an event. If North Korea wants to host something... I don't know if he finished that sentence. Gianni, seriously, what are you doing here? Okay, fine. I think I've said enough. But I mean, David, what do you reckon to this? Because it, like, this is he's essentially like the president of football.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The problem is there's a precursor in place, and the fact that he's got no opposition at all, so he probably feels untouchable. He's just been re-elected. No opposition again. Next time he runs, probably won't be any opposition as well. So I think he kind of feels untouchable. He can come out with all this mad shit and it doesn't really matter because no one's going to, you know, put any pressure on him internally to really to walk away. I think there's been a precursor with Blatter, how he ran things, how he operated. And I'm not saying Infantino's on that scale, but there will be something there, what he's doing, you know, that isn't right. And the statement, I just can't believe that he probably looked at that speech the night before and thought, this looks decent, this
will win them over.
Yeah, this will win them over. It was just astonishing, and it was a bit madcap. I felt like he really lost his head, and I thought it was pretty grim, actually. I thought it was quite disrespectful to compare him being bullied for having ginger hair to people who were dead and also being threatened with jail and death. It's absurd.
And then also to claim that today he is those people. I mean,
well,
to be fair to any of us here, if we had to wing a speech for an hour, we'd probably say some mad stuff. Like on.
Yeah, but Jim, even at your most craven, Jim, you know, I don't think you would go anywhere near.
No, not a chance. Like,
because I don't think your brain goes even glances at those avenues, you know?
Why is he speaking for an hour?
It's just
what's he got to gain? I'm doing that to himself.
There's too much room for error.
Yeah, wrap it up after 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Learn from politicians, even the bad ones. Nice and quick, bat it all away, deflect, and even whack your fist on the table like Blatter and go, well, I demand respect, I'm the head of football, I'm the big man, you're not up yours. All of that, times 10, would have not even approached... How bad?
I can turn it around, everyone. I can shut everyone up. Just get the right combination of words. Everyone will think it's
just
fine.
Just ends one of the sentences. Is what I would have said if I was insane. Brilliant. He's turned it around.
just
yeah. It was all a dream.
Yeah, you had me going there, Gianni.
Yeah, well, he can't even use the excuse that he was drunk, can he? Do you know what I mean?
True.
But yeah, I mean, and that's another thing. Just quickly on that. Obviously, there's no beer being sold in the stands or the stadium, rather. In the World Cup now, and that was a last-minute thing. The Ecuadorian fans were chanting, "We want beer," during the game, which was, you know, quite enjoyable. And they said, "Oh, well, because we respect the country and da-di-da-di-da." FIFA, the same organisation who made Brazil change their laws so they had to sell beer in the stadiums.
Right.
Okay? There you go.
But they are selling beers in certain parts of the stadium, aren't they? They're still selling them in the corporates.
Which higher up.
Oh, the corporate. Yeah, don't worry about that. Keys and Grey need their lager.
I think those start at 19 grand. So you are essentially paying 19 grand for a bud. Just let that sink in.
Yeah, I mean, you know I'm not a drinker, chaps, but that does seem excessive to me.
to a non-drinker, Marcus, you must look at beer and go, that's expensive for the things That should be free.
Yeah, well, it makes you a worse human being. I mean, people moan about the cost of a pint in London. My giddy aunt. Mm. Yes, and to finish with FIFA, they have told... the FA and other football associations in Europe, I think Germany, Netherlands and England were definitely three teams that were planning on wearing the One Love armband. But they've told the football associations of these countries that that does not meet with FIFA's regulations. So there, I assume, would be punishment.
Well, this is the issue, isn't it? I think the FA and the German and Dutch associations as well have said, because they're planning to do the same thing with Manuel Neuer and Virgil van Dijk, they've said they'll essentially just pay a fine.
Right.
But this is the issue. They don't know if those captains will get booked because, you know, if your captain's starting the game on a booking, then you're obviously in some sort of trouble. So let's see how that develops. But it's frustrating.
It would be a bold... What a scene that would be, a referee holding up a yellow card for that reason. Good. I hope a player comes out. That would be, what a fucking stage that would be for a player to come out of some repute. Wow, that would be fucking brilliant. I'd love that.
Would you like to see the little car that we saw in the Euros coming out?
Stewards
running after it, pitch invasion. Oh, dearie me. Now, we are recording this podcast just hours after that barn burner between Qatar and Ecuador, of course. So for us, it's tomorrow. But for you, good listeners, listening to this podcast, it's today. England, we're up against Iran, 1 p.m. our time, GMT. It's been confirmed that James Maddison won't be fit for the opener. It'd be unlikely if he started, of course. Mm. Kyle Walker's going to miss the game. We knew that, and he would be starting, you would imagine, if he was fit. But other than that, Calvin Phillips, again, is kind of getting back to fitness, of course. But other than those three players, England look as though they've got a clean bill of health. And how are you feeling, Jim, about England versus Iran?
There's not been a lot coming out from the camp, has there? It's all actually been pretty quiet on the England front, which I'm delighted by, because it must mean that it's all actually going rather smoothly. And, you know, the last set of England games we saw were largely terrible, but they were so long ago that they kind of feel a little bit irrelevant. So I'm personally I'm not really sure of what to expect from England. And this will be the same for every fan of every country, because we've not really seen our teams play in a while. So I feel England should win this game. It would be ridiculous if they don't. I mean, there's a lot of people expecting England to kind of underperform or perhaps, you know, to have, you know, reached the end of a cycle, et cetera, but this game, even in that context, they should have enough to beat around. And I'd like to see them do that as well. I'd like to feel some positives as soon as possible. And it's nice to have the opportunity for that here.
David, we know that Carlos Queiroz is in charge of Iran. We know he likes to defend, and his teams, he gets them well organised and so on. And he was talking up England and English players in the build up to this game, which was quite nice. And I thought, oh, I see what your game is, Carlos. But presumably you see England winning the game. But does the UEFA Nations League campaign, does that still concern you with the old Three Lions?
I think so. I think, like, it feels there's been kind of a turn in how England play. I always said, I thought once the organisation and the defensive setup kind of showed some holes, then England are in trouble. And it's going to be a case of trying to convince everybody that they are not in trouble. But it's interesting to see now that the organisation has gone whether they get picked apart a little bit more. Iran aren't a prolific team by any means, but they're a good counter-attacking side with a lot of pace. And notably, I think it's a really physical team as well. They've got a lot of big players there, a lot of strong players. Mehdi Taremi, for instance, the striker who plays for Sporting in Portugal, he's somebody who'll give the centre-backs a lot of problems. So it is going to be a tricky one. I don't think it's going to be particularly easy, but it might be the classic England way of just a 1-0 from a set piece.
It does feel like it's got the potential to be quite boring, doesn't it? But I think we're all still haunted by that Algeria game.
I'm happy with any England win, really, of course. But I think you're right. I think that if anyone's looking at the game and how Qatar played, thought, oh, maybe Iran, will they be whipping boys? It's no. They're much higher than them in the rankings. And it's just, that's just, I'd be very, very, very surprised. Pleasantly surprised, but I'd be very surprised nonetheless if that was to happen. Peter, Aaron Ramsdale's in the squad, of course, and he revealed this week that he watched England versus Tunisia in 2018 at the World Cup in Russia last time round from Lineker's bar in Ayia Napa.
Cracking stuff. It's good stuff, isn't
That's what we want, isn't it?
I like to watch all England performances through a fog of potential STDs, personally. I really do. I want that fear. It gives me that extra sort of, like, edge, I think.
If it's ever
I'm not
go
worried
airborne.
About the defence. I'm not worried about the defence. I'm not worried about the width. I'm not worried about square pegs and round holes. I'm worried about, well, other things. All that business. I'm just worried about...
Pete's not worried about the width.
I'm worried about chlamydia. Marcus, I'm worried about chlamydia, mate.
I know you are. You stick with me, son, and you'll be all right. Now, one of our favourite sons, Kevin Keegan, was talking recently about who might win the tournament. And among the likes of Brazil and Argentina, he mentioned Italy, which was quite enjoyable.
is he just trolling Italy? Is that what that is?
No, I don't think he's capable
of
trolling. He is. By the way, though, Karim Benzema is out for the entire tournament with a thigh injury, which is gutting for him, gutting for France. I don't think gutting for football neutrals, because you want to see the best players there. And, of course, he is the current Ballon d'Or holder as well. But he is the first player to win the Ballon d'Or and then miss a World Cup in the same season since Kevin Keegan in 1978, because England, of course, didn't qualify.
The well will never, ever run dry, will it?
It certainly won't. Senegal versus Netherlands today at 4 o'clock. I think that's got a potential to be a nice one. That feels like it'll be, the World Cup will genuinely get underway, because it was just so weird, wasn't it, in the Qatar Ecuador. And then USA versus Wales at 7 o'clock. That's a nice one, David, isn't it? Who would your money be on for that?
I don't think the USA have been very good recently. They've got a few issues there, so I can see Wales perhaps taking advantage of that. What Bale plays as a striker pretty much now, doesn't he, really? And then they've got Brennan Johnson from Forest on the wing. So I think Wales should be, come out pretty in a decent effort, I think. I'm expecting that. But yeah, I think the Senegal-Netherlands game is going to be really good, actually.
Could see a couple of Fulham players on show, USA versus Wales. Anthony Robinson and Harry Wilson, you see, everybody. Keep your eyes peeled for those beauties. Right, now it's time for Betfair's popular Bet Builder. When you bet fair on the World Cup, you can use Betfair's handy app to place your bet builders, and you get your hands on some pretty decent handouts too. Every day this week, you can get a completely free £2 bet builder on any World Cup match. That's right, pick any match this week and you can place a £2 bet builder absolutely free. We're here to place our very own Ramble popular bet builder for today's big game, England versus Iran. Jim, you're up first. What are you going for?
I've kept it simple and I'm going for England to win.
Ooh. David, what about yourself?
I'm going for under 2.5 goals.
Okay, under 2.5 goals. You don't fancy it with Carlos Kiros involved and Gareth Southgate?
I'm more thinking about Southgate, really.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Peter, what do you reckon?
Well, it sounds like Harry Kane's got a yellow card in him due to decisions he's made off the field. So over 3.5 cards, 3.5 cards.
Ooh, okay. Well, my one involves Harry Kane. Harry Kane to score at any time. We know he likes a goal. We know he can do them. He also takes the penalties, as we know, gentlemen.
Good.
He will be gunning to get that golden boot again. Would that be... Well, could he be the first player to gain back-to-back golden boots? Maybe. Certainly a very rare thing, even if it has been done before. Of course, everybody, a £5 bet on this popular bet builder will return £53.19. If we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, you can place a £2 bet builder on this game or any game this week for absolutely free. Max one free £2 bet per customer per day, of course, applies to any bet builder on any World Cup game from the 20th to the 26th of November. Minimum combined odds is 1.5. Eligibility criteria and T's and C's apply. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. There we are. Right, we're watching England together at Ramble HQ, of course, chaps, aren't we? And then we're going to be recording a big old review of what promises to be an absolute classic. That'll be out this afternoon after the game, and then we're back on Tuesday morning looking back on the United States versus Wales. So there we are, boys. The World Cup, it's up and running. An unconventional start, one might say, but we're looking forward to seeing England this afternoon. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, mate. It's been nice being on again.
Nice one, pal. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thank you, PT.
Goodbye.
And thank you for listening to The Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll see you later. Gareth Southgate, Supercoach. Boom, boom, boom.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at yoquierodineropodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.